product end of life, returns, and disposition. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines end-of-life product management as follows. Planning for the phase out of a product to avoid out-of-stock situations, excess inventory, or negative environmental impacts. This involves notifying customers so they can make timely conversions and plan lifetime buys of replacement parts, as well as considering the disposition of the materials. An end-of-life plan is needed for the point at which a product is no longer profitable due to lack of demand caused by obsolescence, market saturation, or supply/manufacturing issues, such as rising costs, also affected by the level of competition. These plans need senior management support, consensus, and approval. A best practice is to standardize the process so that important details such as communications will be timely and professional. An end-of-life plan can include the following steps. Determine an end-of-sales strategy and schedule. At the appropriate time, communicate the strategy and schedule to suppliers, supply chain customers, end customers, and other stakeholders. Often the end-of-sales is a closely guarded secret until the time of official communication, because it can ruin sales of the old product. Customers will wait for the new product, and this can result in unsold inventory. The strategy may provide time to sell off remaining inventory, including in the distribution network, sell it in bulk to a third party, reuse components, recycle products, or responsibly dispose of them. Marketing may reduce prices or provide upgrade incentives and support. Determine an end-of-service strategy and schedule, including customer service, technical support, repairs, and/or service parts. This will need to be communicated well in advance. Service could remain profitable for an extended period, or, as an investment in customer loyalty, there could be a strategic decision to provide support for the expected life of the final product sold. Service parts might be outsourced or the design sold to other organizations. Less expensive forms of service could be substituted. Determine changes to manufacturing equipment or spaces that will no longer be needed, such as selling the equipment, retooling it for a new product introduction, or reallocating space. The product manufacturing rights and equipment could also be sold to a third party. Incorporate end-of-life plans, such as plans for backward compatibility or the timing of the introduction of new products, into new product introduction plans. Manage programs to accept products back at the end of their lives. Such programs could be based on regulatory requirements, be voluntary for sustainability, or enable recovery of rare materials such as gold. Perform risk and crisis management, such as for product recalls, lawsuits, or unhappy customers. Supply chain management professionals can provide valuable input or analysis for end-of-life plans. This includes reviewing minimum order quantity requirements, other contractual requirements, lifetime sales quantities and timing, and obsolescence timing. Products in decline can delay their end-of-life date by cutting costs, often at the expense of customer service. However, other costs might increase as suppliers also work to cut costs, since components may also be in decline. Supply chain management professionals therefore need to review minimum order quantity, MOQ, requirements from suppliers and for customers. Suppliers may increase their MOQ in order to cut their manufacturing and supply chain costs, and this will lower the organization's ordering costs, but increase inventory carrying costs. Suppliers could instead lower the MOQ to promote sales if customers are no longer willing to buy in bulk. The organization can also alter its MOQs for customers for the same reasons. The net changes in costs will need to be analyzed for their impact on profitability. Contractual promises may have been made to suppliers to buy their components or materials, or for them to provide products and/or support to customers for a particular period, such as for a warranty period. It is important to review exit clauses to determine if there are ways to end a product per a desired time frame. Reviewing lifetime sales quantities and timing involves estimating how many more units customers will purchase or can be convinced to purchase as a product is in decline / nearing obsolescence. The purpose is to help determine the timing of how many more units of the old product to produce and when to stop production. If the product has a direct replacement, the replacement needs to be available at that time. This could be a new product or an existing one that could be a substitute and may be subject to increased demand. Lifetime sales quantities are also used to estimate the quantities of components, such as spare parts, that will be needed to repair the existing products in use during their remaining useful life. Often, customers need to calculate a lifetime by quantity for equipment they own. This is the quantity of spare parts that the customer will need to purchase now in order to maintain a product to the end of its life cycle. It is used when spare parts for the product are being discontinued. the timing of end of sales will not necessarily be obvious. Managers and salespersons will be invested in the status quo. Reviewing lifetime sales history can help provide information on where a product is in its life cycle. Historical sales trend data and sales pipeline information from the sales organization can be used to help reach consensus regarding a product's end of sales point. The information can also be used for product lifecycle analysis for future products that are similar. Note that this is the basic process used in a lifecycle analysis, defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as follows. 1. SIN, Lifecycle Assessment, LCI. 2. A quantitative forecasting technique that is based on applying past patterns of demand data and that covers introduction, growth, maturity, saturation, and decline of similar products to a new product family. C. Product lifecycle. Obsolescence can be planned or market-based. Planned obsolescence is part of a new product introduction strategy to release a replacement product and market it as an essential upgrade. Market-based obsolescence is based on a steady or sudden drop in demand, often due to competitor actions. Reviewing obsolescence timing involves forecasting when a product should or must reach its end of sales point. It is also important to ensure that material requirements planning components are planned accordingly as part of the end of sales plan, including managing and updating effectivity dates, effective date of new engineering specifications, removing safety stocks and buffers, reducing lot sizes, forecasting amounts of excess or obsolete inventory, and making plans for their disposition. Products that have been determined to be obsolete or expired or otherwise unsaleable can be handled in a way similar way to product returns in that they might be returned up the supply chain if this is possible, or they could be donated, recycled, or disposed of. Disposal may have associated costs, especially for items with hazardous materials. The following returns process lists these and other possible methods for disposition. Product returns and disposition process. When handling returns, an organization must first assess and categorize return items based on their condition and status. To do so, return products are first centralized in a single location. Then disposition takes place. Disposition is the process of determining the appropriate disposal category for each returned item or for items that are no longer saleable. Return products would use the entire flowchart seen in Exhibit 4-35. While products that are to be disposed of internally could use portions of this process, such as, can you reuse the parts? Exhibit 4-35. Disposition of returned products. Adapted from copyright reverse logistics process flow. Greve Davis. Used with permission. The disposition of each item is an important decision, since about 80% of the value of the reverse logistics process depends on matching the product with the best disposition option. Making wise decisions regarding internal products to be disposed of can likewise result in greater or lesser costs and could help with other goals, such as sustainability. The exhibit shows 6 options for how a return item can be handled. Internal items to be disposed cannot use the first option. Return to stock. For example, an unsold item still in its original package or a sold item that is unused. Return to manufacturer or producer. For example, refillable beverage and liquor bottles, packing crates, or items that are contractually allowed to be returned after authorization for an allowed return reason. Liquidate, sell to a secondary seller or market. Donate, for example, to a charitable organization as a tax write-off. Recycle, dispose, for example, bury in landfill, incinerate. Any revenue earned from liquidations or tax benefits from donation can be tracked along with related disposition expenses. This information then results in either a net gain or a net loss from the disposition. The accounting department will then use this information when writing off the inventory.